In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It seems pretty natural to me to look to Jesus, his religion, and his church to fill my deep desire for meaning, answer my questions, give me what I think it is I need. And it seems that everywhere I turn, I see Christianity marketed as the solution to just those things. Are you casting about for purpose? Jesus will tell you clearly what to do with your life. Feeling anxious? Come read this series of Bible verses stripped from their context and heal your anxiety. Lonely? The church is here to fill all the holes in your life and be all sufficient. I'm sure, or at least I hope, that all of those things are true sometimes. Your questions were answered, your life had more meaning, you were healed and restored, or you knew the love of God here. But the Bible is not a self-help book, and Jesus is not a motivational speaker. None of those things are the chief reason for the church. The church exists to be the body of Jesus in the world and continue his mission. The primary purpose is not to respond to your and my every need as though Jesus were selling something and just hoping we would buy it. The chief purpose is for us to follow Jesus, not have him serve us. Today's gospel makes that abundantly, almost painfully clear. Jesus waits until a large crowd had gathered around him, and then he turns to them and says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." What was he thinking here? We can't market that. Have that printed up on a banner and we'll put it out on War Memorial and see how many people come new next week. Come to our church and join in despising your family and we'll teach you how to have a harder life. Is that really the lesson Jesus wanted us to learn? If it is, I feel like there must have been a passage after this that got edited out that would have said, "And the crowds got a lot smaller after that. And the other followers started to grumble. Can we get back to blessing the poor and the meek and the peacemakers? And what about that 'don't worry, because the Father will take care of you like the birds of the air'? And more healings, definitely more healings." But that's not what gets said next. Jesus just tells them that he's being honest, because this is a costly path and people need to decide what they're willing to do to follow it, to know the price and be prepared. Would you set out to build something without finding out what it would cost first so that you knew you could afford it? Would you get into a fight without knowing your chances of winning and if you could absorb the losses? Following Jesus is going to be costly, and you should make sure you are willing to give what it requires. Jesus has already told them that he is on the way to the cross, and he's been trying to explain to them that he's not interested in just making their world better in the way that they thought. He's not going to become the conquering king who rules benevolently and holds their enemies at bay. In fact, he's out to change the whole paradigm, to radically remake the whole system of values, including loving those very enemies instead of trying to defeat them, including accepting death as a precondition to new life, including giving everything you hold dear in exchange for things that are truly meaningful and eternal. Jesus is clear that he is not here to make things incrementally better, but rather to make them completely new. He's not about fixing things, but rather letting what needs to die, die, so that new life can spring forth in its place. He's not trying to be your companion on the path you are already going down, but inviting you to take your cross and join him on his path. He's not willing to be the pressure valve that alleviates your discomfort and lets you continue in the same system. He wants to bring you to a whole new world. It's a new value system, a new orientation, and new life. And the cost is letting go of the old one. He's looking for people willing to do that. This isn't a particularly new message that Jesus brought. God had been trying to speak this message for generations and is still trying to get us to understand it generations later. This week and last, we get two of my favorite images from the Hebrew Scriptures, both from the prophet Jeremiah, that directly pertain to this message. In this week's passage, God sends Jeremiah to the potter's house to watch him work. The vessel the potter is working on is spoiled, but not permanently ruined. It hadn't been fired yet, so it wasn't completed. There was still hope for it, but it had to be completely remade. And that's what the potter did. He remade it into a vessel worthy of God. It was a new creation. He didn't just hope that he could paint over the little messed up spots and touch it up, or turn the ill-formed part towards the corner of the wall so maybe no one would notice it. He made it new, and he made it beautiful, and he made it as it should be, as God intended it. It's a hard lesson for most of us who thrive on personal betterment programs, being our best self now, incremental improvement over wholesale transformation. What if Christ's call for us means abandoning things that we value now so that we can find ultimate value? Or admitting we are completely on the wrong track and having the courage to march off toward a new path? Or accepting our own brokenness and inability to heal ourselves and trusting God to remake us, to restore us in God's own image. This is the type of real repentance and true transformation that's hard for us. It's hard because most of us have carved out lives of subsistence based on the myth of self-sufficiency. We've allowed ourselves to think that existing is the same thing as truly living. We've committed the sin God spoke of to Jeremiah in last week's reading, one of my favorite images from the Old Testament. God tells Jeremiah, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and instead dug cisterns for themselves. But they are cracked cisterns that can hold no water." We gave up on abundant life and focused on not dying. We forsook living water and tried to pool stagnant water in broken vessels. We let go of real purpose and filled our lives with busyness instead. How much of modern life fits that very description? God says that's really two sins. Not only are we not grasping the real thing, the promised thing that should be ours, we're holding a cheap substitute in its place, so there's not even room for it anymore. The examples of this are evident anywhere you turn. People giving up on God as the source of stability and instead trusting in the accumulation of wealth and always ending up feeling anxious that it might fail them. People don't even know how to find a vocation, a true calling from God for their lives, so they become ever busier with their occupation, a time filler. People are afraid to risk real love, the vulnerability, the cost it exacts, the need to reach across difference, to grow and become something new together. And so they surround themselves with greater numbers of acquaintances and members of affinity groups and call it community. God's saying, if you want to find real life, you have to walk away from the broken cisterns. And it's scary, and it's costly, and you should make sure that you're ready to follow Jesus there if you do it. No one gets to out of carrying a cross. He actually calls it your cross. To live is to be somewhat burdened, to have responsibilities. But he's asking, will that struggle have purpose? We all have to die. No one escapes that. But Jesus wants to know, will you die on your way to new life? Those are the questions Jesus wants us to answer. But you have to be willing to admit the first part to ever get to the answer. What if I'm afraid to walk away from my family and friends who will never love and accept me the way God has made me? Because I'm afraid of being lonely. Jesus is saying, trust him more than that, because that's not what he intended family to be. What if I'm afraid to give up my possessions because I've made them integral to my identity, even though I don't really find it meaningful? Jesus is saying, there are better ways to define yourself that don't rely on things that are passing away. What if I'm afraid of stepping off the path I've been walking because it's all I've ever known, even though I never liked the scenery and I'm skeptical of where it's leading? Jesus is saying, follow him, because his path isn't easy, but it does lead to life. Too often we're saying, I've given up on living water and instead dug broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I'm still going to try and drink from them as long as they'll last. And Jesus is responding, if you want to be my disciple, you have to let go of those things and be made new. It's so simple and yet so utterly terrifying that we downplay it. We don't put it on church billboards. Sometimes we're afraid to just name it aloud. Here's the thing, though. Luke doesn't say that the crowd deserted Jesus after this. I think maybe they were thankful for someone who told them the truth, even if it was challenging. I think maybe they already knew this was true and were relieved that there was someone else who was willing to name it and who might know another way instead of the pointless slog they were on. I think many of them were willing to give their lives, sacrifice their possessions, abandon their priorities if there was a chance it could lead to what they had always really been looking for. And I think that's still true. I think there's a world of people who know their cisterns are broken and just want someone to point them toward living water, who are okay carrying their cross if they knew it was actually going somewhere, who know they're broken and long to be remade, who are painfully aware that they're dying every day and just want to believe that it can lead to new life. May maybe it's time to just be honest that that's the only message Christianity's offering. Jesus isn't here to make you better. He's here to make you new. That's the whole cost. It's hard work, but all are welcome. It will cost you all of who you are to become who God created you to be. It's scary, and it's hopeful, and it'll be easier if we walk that path together. Amen.